What's up? This is Mike Fenoya from Amigos, and Amigos Podcast is In the Loop, the legion of Osiris Podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. Check out OsirisPod.com and stay in the loop. What up? Welcome back to Amigos. This is your host, Mike Fenoya. I hope you guys are doing great. Thank you for coming back and hanging with me for yet another episode. Today, 1 week from my birthday, Oysterhead released that they're coming back February 14th and 15th in Broomfield, Colorado. How fucking amazing is that? Les Claypool, Copeland, and Trey. The best power trio since Rush is back. You heard me, Blink 182 fans. You heard me, Green Day fans. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm super excited. I'm not going to be there, but hopefully they come around these parts back to the good old East Coast. It's a beautiful fall. Man, I love this weather. Fall in New York and New England is the greatest. I hope you're enjoying it. My Dolphins are 0-5. They got beat by the Redskins. Fuck this football season. Everyone go to at Amigos Pod, AmigosPod on Twitter and Instagram, at Mike Fenoya, at MikeFinoia. Facebook discussion group, Amigos Podcast discussion, Instagram, all that shit. And follow along with me and my friend Cypher Sounds. He is the DJ, very famous in New York City, alum of Amigos Pod. We're doing a little weight loss challenge called Lose to the Cruise. So you could follow at Lose2TO the Cruise, and it's fun. I'm trying to shed 20 pounds before the Impractical Joker Cruise February 10th. I need to. I'm turning 40 next week, and it's scaring me. It's not old. I say it on stage. I'm not old, but I'm aging like guacamole. I feel it. I'm starting to. I want to feel young. I want to feel as young as possible. So it's time to fight the age. So I'm gonna start hitting the heavy bag and running and getting back into some good fucking shape. At least that's what I'm saying today because it's sunny out and the Lexapro is working. Today on the episode, folks, I have my pal Ryan Stasek. Second time around, round two. We do this interview over the phone. Ryan's in Charleston, South Carolina, and I am in New York City, New York, and we talk about haunted hotels, we talk about Tool, we talk about Ryan's busted finger, we talk about hoarding, we talk about moving, we talk about Derek Jeter and Tour, and we talk about Umphrey's McGee writing new tunes in Nashville at an Airbnb. They wrote three new songs in 3 days, so there's some new Umphrey's material coming soon, and I'm excited for them to be heading to the East Coast and playing the Beacon. So finally, my friend Ryan and I can hang out in person. So check out Umphrey's McGee. Check out everything that's going on with those guys. Enjoy the episode. I'm going to cut a short intro here today. Listen to all the amazing things that it's happening over at OsirisPod.com. All my pals with their great podcast, Fear of a Craft Beer Planet's back. Welcome to the party, pal. Across the Margin, Michael Shields and his podcasts, No Simple Roads. Tom is sharing knowledge about lyrics at Under the Scales, and the Helping Friendly Pod's always helping and friendly. So a lot of great stuff. Check it all out. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the episode. We'll chat soon. Peace out.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hollingsworth. You're listening to Amigos with Mike Fenoya on the Osiris Network.
It's Ryan Stasek on the pod one more time. What up, brother?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good enough.
Good enough.
For 6 months, just good enough. I don't want to continue to bore people with my problems, so I'm good enough.
No, you're not boring anybody, dude. Everybody likes to hear about your problems.
I don't like to hear about my problems.
What's your problems?
Oh, just, you know, like the home renovations.
Yeah, you know? You posted something the other day on Instagram that it was like you were getting rid of a 5-foot by 3-foot baseball flag.
Okay, that that's not that's actually there's stories behind that. My parents retired and moved to Charleston, and they just have too much shit, and they've been very patient with me storing stuff there as well. And I think they just hit a wall, and they're like, it's time to get rid of stuff. Like, if you're not taking it, we're getting rid of it. And my mom, who's an artist and, you know, dabbles in comedy and art and painter and a bunch of things, she painted, I think, like 250 baseballs, hand-painted them, and then my dad drilled them into this wooden board. And it weighs like 80 pounds. It's a pretty dope piece. It's the American flag.
It's fucking awesome, dude.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I told her, like, you just don't give this away. This is art, you know? I mean, you can if you wanted to, if I can find a local place.
Donate it or something.
Just something. It needs to go to the right place. But the funny thing is I grew up in Kalamazoo, and Derek Jeter had signed a baseball, and she just painted right over it. she's like, yeah, Derek Jeter, okay. I'll just paint. I need a baseball.
Oh, that's amazing.
So there goes the there is a signed Derek Jeter baseball on that board somewhere. Now it's a red ball.
I mean, that's pretty dope, though. That's like a – I mean, if you put that in there and you go, hey, by the way, there is a Jeter in here somewhere. Someone's going to take that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kalamazoo, I wonder if there's some – like bringing it back there maybe as like a Jeter – I don't know. I'm sure they have a bunch of bullshit there, like Derek Jeter Boulevard and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I think at this point, like my mom's trying to get rid of it, and I don't have the time or anything to do it either. I just tried to make a little social media post if someone in Charleston wants to get it, because it's a beast. I'm not going to go through any effort of shipping or anything. It's like a come over, grab it, and enjoy it.
Now, your mom being an artist, did you grow up with like a ton of like stuff around the house? Like, would she come home with like she went to a yard sale and grabbed like some weird picnic table and turned it into like a clock and fun shit like that? Was there always wild stuff around the house?
Yeah, she kind of has a wild personality and fashion sense in general, but she wasn't like a flea market or garage sale purchaser. You know, she paints a lot. Definitely weird stuff. Like, we have benches made out of snowboards and old skis and, you know, stuff like that.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, cool stuff. Most of it's cool.
Now, are you, with all this shit happening with the house and stuff, are you someone that's like, do you have any hoarderism in you, or are you like, let's throw everything out?
Oh, God. It's funny you say that, because my wife thinks I'm a hoarder. I think I am a selective keeper of magic. there's some things that are,
that sounds like, you know, that's level one hoarder fucking logic.
Yeah, right there. But if I'll have days, and I've told my wife, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it this Saturday. I'm in the mode. It's just time to let go. It's got to go.
Yeah.
Gotta go. You know, I got to get rid of it. And if I can get in that mental space of like, and I ain't going to wear that. I don't need that. You know?
Yeah.
She laughs at me. She's like, you wear black shorts and black t-shirt every day. Why do you have a full closet? That's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah, see, I'm a selective keeper of magical t-shirts that I, you know, like I've got bins that that have a piece of like duct tape on it that says one day.
Yep.
And I'm like, I refuse to get rid of them, whether it's like a shirt from a special concert or whether it's like some like comedy club gave me a shirt and they only had like a large and I need an XL or whatever. I have some t-shirts. I think a lot of it has to do with like how you grew up, you know, like. And I've been watching that Marie Kondo, that Netflix thing where it's like, if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it out.
Yes, I agree with that.
I totally agree with it, but it's hard because it's like, you're right though. There is like, and with art and with music, we're all kind of like weirdly nostalgic. Like, you probably have like shit that's, yeah, like I wore those jeans at like a special concert or whatever. You don't want to throw them out or whatever, you know?
I'm better with getting rid of that kind of stuff. I have a lot of things that from high school, college, you know, trophies and just things that I hold on to, knickknacks that are there. I'm like, why do I still have these? Taking up room. Like, sure, I was in a hockey tournament and we won. Do I really need the trophy?
Yeah.
You know, I just, for some reason, I can't let them go.
Yeah.
I put them in a
That's wild. So it's all going well, though. Everything's it's coming along. The house is – everything's going fine. Every time I talk to you, I hear saws and hammers in the back and shit.
No, I mean, we're really, really close. It's more of – you know, I don't mess with plumbing or electrical. and those types of things, I feel like I'm more in a possibility of causing more problems. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay away from that, but we've had some issues. Just, you know, anything you do when you re-gut a house and these meetings and then just trying to get people to show up on time and get things done. You know, when you have two kids, we didn't have any shower doors or glass in the showers. And
oh, fuck.
Kids, you know, it's just you just want to get to some point of normalcy, and you feel like the home starts to feel like a home. So,
yeah.
You know, baby steps, man. We're getting there.
You're getting there, man. That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're getting out and having some fun too, dude.
I am. Got a lot of some things on the coming up on the schedule as well. We've got some weddings, and I'm going to try to turn those into concerts. A couple concerts as well. My wife and I get to go check out. I'm going to be up in Philly for a wedding in November, and Tool's playing in Atlantic City.
Oh, dude, I'm so fucking excited for this Tool tour.
Yes.
I'm going to catch him at Barclays.
Nice. Now, Atlantic City's not too far from Philly, right?
No, it's not far at all. In fact, I was just there this weekend at a haunted hotel doing stand-up. I'm a firm believer in ghosts, and I think living in Manhattan, you have to be, like, I'm sure aspiring punk musicians overdosed in my tub, you know, like it's just inevitable, you know, everything's so old and, you know, but, yeah. I was at a hotel in AC and, I had a weird experience where, like I was in the, I sleep in pitch black, but I listen to music and I felt like someone was standing like over my bed and I don't get like that. I'm not one of those like weirdos with that shit, but I totally 100% thought someone was in my room, and I like turned the lights on quick. They weren't there, and AC is fucking bananas. But no, it's not far at all, dude. Philly's probably what, an hour with traffic, maybe.
Okay, good. Yeah.
They're doing what, the Trop?
I don't even know, the Enormo Dome or something. I didn't look.
What do you think? What do you think of the new Tool album?
I absolutely love it. I think that, you know, some people have expectations that they want themselves to reinvent the wheel or be done. It's not. It's Tool. It's going to sound like a Tool record. I expected it to sound like a Tool record, and I love it. Odd meter, long songs. They take the time, and I think it takes that long so they can perfect it and then be able to pull it off live.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I love the balls to have 13-minute songs for a progressive metal band. I think that's really awesome. So I'm a fan. I enjoy and you know, they do a lot of those interludes. You got 3 minutes, it kind of like sets up the wave stuff, but I listening to it all the way through, I've probably listened to it about 50 times now.
So yeah. It's
on rotation.
It's a good long drive album for sure. Yeah. It's definitely been one that got me through a couple of like overnight drives back to the city. And it reminds me of it. Just to me, it sounds a lot like, you know, the Tool that got me hooked.
Yeah.
In the early days, you know, was there any periods in your guys in Umphrey's, history where were you guys ever like influenced by Tool in like when it comes to, you know, writing any songs or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, me definitely. I it's my favorite band. So just from listening to them all the time since the 90s,
yeah.
I think that's already just built in.
Sort of happens organically.
Yeah, but I've definitely sat down with our drummer where we've worked on odd meter riffing and odd meter heavy metal riffing together and try to, you know, without saying, let's make it sound like Tool, just practicing that, playing in five or playing in seven and making it rock. And we've done that purposely. We have a song called Wizard Burial Ground. And I think there's some elements of how it can sound like Tool at the end.
You know, I hear a little bit of it in Similar Skin as well.
Nice.
I think that in that album, there's a couple of like, you know, songs that definitely have like that nice kind of, you know, Tom driven, like bass and drum, you know, like that heavy kind of, I love that, man.
Yeah. Danny Carey's work is just, it's phenomenal. Yeah, I love bands that can make, you know, seven and six and five sound really groove. I found talking about hoarding, I was getting rid of my CDs or as my wife likes to call them, coasters.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just, you know, but I have so many mix CDs that were made. And one of them is Seattle Lives, Part 2. and it's just all grunge music and Soundgarden, and then I Alice in Chains. So I recently got back into Alice in Chains wormhole, just listening to old records, Dirt and Jar of Flies, and
yeah,
and Soundgarden, how they make Seven, all those Spoon Man, and how all the riffs in Odd Meter, but it's so rocking.
Yeah,
and the Alice in Chains stuff, such dirty riffs. You know, an underrated band.
It totally is.
Huge Alice in Chains fan.
Yeah, I've been in a little bit of a weird Meat Puppets hole lately.
Yeah,
which is wild. Going back in and listening to some of that crazy old stuff and reading about the brothers and how, like, what a weird, like, you know, I don't know. It's just such an odd group. They put out, like, 14 albums. And, like, after the Nirvana stuff, like, you know, they had the Backwater became a hit. But really, it was just, like, they're crazy. And it's fucking, the music was so inspiring to bands like Sebado and, you know, Nirvana and all that grunge stuff. But yeah, I love getting into those like nice wormholes and getting deep. It's funny, dude. That's one thing you say, you hit the nail on the head, like hoarding. I can't get rid of, like, I have boxes and boxes and boxes of bootleg tapes, you know, like Grateful Dead, Fish, whatever. And it's like, I just can't, I'm like one day, like a bomb's going to hit and it's going to fucking wipe out Wi-Fi and all my passwords. And I'm going to need to hear that fucking New Year's 93 or whatever, you know?
Now, tapes are a lot harder to listen to in high fidelity or anyway, you know, I don't even have a tape player in my home. A CD, I still have a CD player in my car.
You so do?
I'll stash the vinyl books and the seat just so I can listen to CDs. I like listening to them straight through.
There was, did you have to get a CD player like installed or is it what came with?
No, it's a 2012. So there was a CD player in there.
Oh, that's kick ass.
I guess
dude.
New cars don't have them anymore, huh?
No. And you know what?
I don't even know. I went Bluetooth.
When I made my, when I did my stand up album in Vermont, I was talking to this other comic and he goes, you need to make CDs to sell on the road because people want to leave with something physical. Like, if you just go, hey, go download it at whatever, like, nobody cares. They want you to sign it. They want you to – and it's weird. People came up and they're like – they just wanted to support, so they bought it. And then they're like, as they're walking away, I hear them going, I don't even know how the fuck we're going to play this. Like, it didn't even have like – like, nobody has a CD player anymore. It's
what
weird.
What do we do with this?
Yeah.
That's funny. I could be wrong that I read this wrong, but I think vinyl sales for the first time out – CDs this year.
I believe
2019.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are moving to Brooklyn and Portland, Oregon. So,
hey, I did want to talk to you real quick before I forget. When you said Manhattan is haunted, because I'm not a big I'm not a big ghost person either. It's not that I believe or don't believe. I'm just more of a skeptic.
Okay.
But we used to. Do you remember the Emeritania, the hotel?
No.
Okay, it was right around from where Letterman played, so I think that was 54th, maybe that area.
Okay, yeah, right in Times Square.
Times Square, yeah. We used to stay there all the time when Humphries would come through, or if there was any time there, the band was coming through. And I remember it being a Sunday, and we were in this back room, and I was trying to wake up for a Steelers-Ravens game to watch it. and I had this presence. And this is so weird. It's weird even saying this, but like it was like this spirit was holding my head down in the bed. And when I was trying to lift my head up to wake up to get up, I couldn't do it. And then I got up real quick and moved, and nothing was in the room.
What the fuck?
It was bizarre, and I'd never felt anything like that before. But in that hotel, I was always had a vibe that that place was haunted or something. I don't know if there's a history or anything or who knows what even has happened. It's not there any longer, I don't believe.
Dude, I just think about, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm a firm believer. I think I've done enough psychedelics and a couple of other, like, you know, just out of this, you know, galaxy experiences to admit that I have no clue what I know or don't know. To me, that's, like, the most intelligent thing to say. Like, I can't say for sure there's no ghosts. I can't say for sure there's no God or whatever, you know? And it's like, why, who am I to say any of that? But it's, there are these sometimes like experiences where it's like, yeah, I'm totally not alone, you know? And it's very weird. And when like, you know, we travel so much, right? And I don't know about you, but there are times where like, I wake up and I don't know where the fuck I am. I have no idea like what town we're in. And it's like,
that's called being a bass player. That's very common.
Yeah, dude. And it's nuts. Like when I've gone on tour with the Jokers and we've done like bus tours, the Impractical Joker tour, like we're on the road driving overnight. I get on stage, off stage. And it's like, you know, a week later, I'm like, what, Tulsa? Are we in Tulsa? Yeah. Are we still in Memphis? And we're staying in these places. And I think it's like, you're so dead tired. Right. And it's like, there, who knows what went on in those rooms, you know? And it's New Orleans always has that vibe to me.
Totally, totally.
That like some crazy shit went down in those rooms. Like some prostitute in the 20s like lost her soul, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, this one in New York was weird, and it actually kind of freaked me out for a little bit because I tried to stay and watch the first half of the game, and I just kept getting this weird vibe in this room. I was like, man, I got to get the fuck out of here. This is just something's off.
Yeah, this whole New England kind of northeast area is pretty wacky when it comes to that shit, I think.
And then here's the other. So I go take my wife to Tool, and I was telling her in November I'm coming home after Philly, coming home after our Halloween show, and Slayer is having their last. I think it's their last tour.
Wow.
And I told her, I was like, listen, I need this. Yeah. This is how I get my stress or whatever out. I go to a heavy metal concert. I think Phil Anselmo is opening up with, maybe they're doing Cowboys from Hell or they're doing Pantera. I could be wrong.
Oh,
I think they're doing some Pantera. And then Primus plays, and then it's Slayer.
Jesus.
A triple dosage, you know, a triple hit.
Primus, too. That's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, so like this is going to be some awesome concert experiences coming up in the fall.
When you were a kid, what club would you go to catch concerts? Like, what was your local? I had Toad's Place in New Haven. Like, where did you go?
Well, in Kalamazoo is where I was in middle school and high school. You only had to be 18 to get into bars. They had a place called Club Soda that it's not there anymore.
Yeah,
it's close to where Bell's Beer is. Downtown,
yep.
And they used to have concerts there. Remember the Verve Hype was actually a pretty big band that had some commercial success in the 90s with that song The Freshman.
They were out of
Kalamazoo. They used to play at Club Soda. I remember going down there and getting the big X's on the hands.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you know, yeah. But Kalamazoo, does, I guess the State Theater is more of where people perform there now.
Mm-hmm.
Really have a big music venue, so I don't know what it would be for the smaller clubs.
Yeah, totally.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I saw that the Misfits are doing a show on Halloween here in New York with Glenn Danzig's going to be with them, and it's going to be pretty nuts.
Nice.
Yeah. That's fun, dude. Every now and then just going to, I mean, of course the jam scene and all that's great, but, you know, every now and then it's so nice to just go fucking watch people mosh and just go nuts.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. I took my excuse me, I got a cough here.
Yeah.
I took my two daughters and wife yesterday out to a festival here in Charleston, and it was our year and a half year old, her first time out, you know, with the baby band headphones and
sure.
Just checking out a festival. Just let her explore. It was awesome. Because she's just going around in front of the stage, checking things out, dancing with some old hippies, you know, and just in the bewilderment and awe of everything that's happening. It was really cool.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Charleston's like, I mean, I'll tell you, living in New York, I love it and I hate it. And I kind of am very inspired and motivated by some of these comics who can go live in Nashville and like have a life. And just, as long as you're near an airport, like your career can still be fine.
Yeah.
I'm still in that grinding it out phase where it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 shows a night here in the city, running from club to club, trying to get there and make a name and all that. But there's certain folks that can like go live, you know, have a yard and have a, you know, do a project like you're doing. And it's so nice to not have to live in the city. I hate the city in some ways, dude. It's fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure. I mean, before I had kids, the city was the only option. I always wanted to be in New York. My wife was in New York, and then I was in Chicago, and I wanted to be downtown Chicago. And then once pregnancy hit, we were like, dude, we got to go to the beach.
Yeah, totally.
But fortunately, I get to see those cities in and out the way I prefer now, you know, because of traveling as a musician.
Of course.
Which is great. I don't feel like I'm locked out in the countryside or a slave to my yard.
Yeah.
you know, I'm able to experience it all, but it's, yeah, I can't handle the hustle bustle of a big city.
No, it's fucking impossible, dude. And like living in the city, I drive in the city, which is, I mean, eventually I'm going to end up like involuntary manslaughter because it's fucking not, dude. First of all, New York, it's so terrible. I mean, like, I hope it's involuntary, but it's probably going to be voluntary. It's so nuts, dude. You got these like tourists that come in from like, I don't know, Prague or Wisconsin or whatever. And they're riding city bikes and it's the first time they've ridden a bike in 9 years. And they're like, oh, let's see if we can remember how to ride a bike. And they're like cruising down like Lexington Avenue during, you know, fucking rush hour. And, you know, just like FaceTiming their grandmother or whatever.
Do you guys have the scooters too?
I mean, no, we don't have like the nerdy scooters. We have like the delivery boy scooters. The ones that are silent, but they have a motor. Are you familiar?
I'm talking about the rental ones where people are just taking them and leaving them everything.
No. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Like those ones those are like the ones that you just kind of like stand on and they're battery powered.
Take off without a helmet and hopefully don't kill yourself.
Dude.
And just leave them wherever.
It's so stupid. I was talking to an Uber driver in Denver and his other job was he at night goes and collects those and charges them in his garage. And then in the morning goes and like just releases them like a bunch of fucking swans or doves. And I'm just like, what a weird world we're living in that's an actual way that you pay your bills as a man is like to charge scooters for nerds.
I did wonder how they did that, though. I was like, well, how the hell do these – because you just see them in piles outside of bars. At least this last summer, I know there was a big influx, and they were becoming very popular. In a lot of cities, I've just seen it was just scooter, 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 scooter. Nashville, everybody's
– Yeah, oh, God, I know.
Everywhere. I'm saying, you know, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
I always wondered who charges them and who collects them. Someone has to be doing that. So, okay.
Yeah. Off-hour Uber drivers are charging them in their garage. I guess, like – Lyft is a company that you know, provides them, and they provide these guys with, like, you know, charging ports that they keep in their garage or whatever.
No shit.
So, yeah, it's pretty fucking weird. But, dude, you guys have Class of 2018 coming out. Hall of Fame, Class of 18.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
James. Yeah. We've been doing this now, I think, for maybe 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we always like to keep a... keep releases coming out. We just recently went into the studio too with a producer friend of ours, Ryan Hewitt, and wrote 3 songs in 3 days. But something that was different for us is we usually don't go in and craft a song and finish it completely in one day. You know, usually there's an overdub or a solo or vocals we'll do another day, or somebody's got to come back and do the percussion or we'll do keyboards another. This time went in, we got an Airbnb in Nashville, showed up. And from like 8 a.m. to 2 in the morning, we just, everybody finished their part.
Wow.
And went home, you know, so it was really cool to get in and be like, okay, song a day, let's do 3. And do 3 songs in 3 days on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So got some new material coming out.
Oh, that's
with those.
Awesome, you know? Dude.
Yeah.
What's that process like from the start with you guys? I mean, are you all writing or is it like a really open, is it a Lennon-McCartney or is it kind of everybody's coming in with ideas and... hashing them out.
It's a little bit of everything that you kind of mentioned there. Obviously, the Jake and Brendan are the Lennon McCartney. They're definitely the primary songwriters because they're the lyricists. So I'm not writing lyrics for Brendan. It'd be interesting to see if he would even sing my lyrics.
Really?
I don't know. We've never talked about it. Maybe I should ask him about that. But I don't write a lot of lyrics. So those guys come to the table with a lot more material with the vocals done.
Yep.
But, I mean, even this last session, this was the first time it happened. There were 8 of us in the room, the engineer, one of our managers, and we went through the vocal pass and for an hour rewrote them together, which was super fun.
Whoa.
Which was interesting because you're trying to, you know, appease 8 people's different ideas and what makes sense and which rhyme scheme's the best. And so we did that together. That was completely different from how we usually do things. But everybody has definitely a level of participation in the songwriting. You know, I with Joel playing keys and me playing bass and the melodic instruments, we definitely write riffs or write sections. And then we all get together and try to help arrange the parts. Chris, our drummer, is instrumental too in bringing ideas to the table. But as far as like completely done songs, Jake has been recording on a 4-track and now with Pro Tools on the board, he plays every instrument.
Yeah,
like a virtuoso. So he's coming in with demos that already sound like CD worth or album recordings.
Wow.
He does the drums, he does the scratch track, he does the vocals, he does the rhythm guitar, the lead guitar, he does the bass, he does all the synths. Like, he can do it all. So there's a lot of times, which is great, because the guy, I mean, he's been recording since he's 10 years old.
Jesus.
So he just has so many songs, just a catalog of so many songs. We actually dug one of his up that I think some of the riffs were from 5 years ago, and we helped put it together as for one of the new songs that we did.
Man.
And it's really cool for him too to go back and be like, yeah, I wrote that about 5 years ago, and it's just a riff that had been sitting there, and then we stuck it with something else and kind of put that Umphrey's twist on it to make it work. And I mean, these songs, I don't know, when people say Umphrey's, what do you sound like, what do you do, oh, they're dude metal or they're jam band, it's just, I think it's hard to put a finger on the exact sound. And none of these songs sound like what a general statement of what Umphrey's is.
Well, that's kind of why I like you guys, man, to be honest. It's you know, the same reason why I can't just dive into a quote-unquote jam band and say I love everything when it's every song needs a 19-minute noodle. You know what I mean? Like, I like the fact that you guys are so diverse, and that's great, though. I mean, why do you need to – there's no need to define it. As long as you guys are loving playing it, that's all that matters,
totally.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, one of the songs has – if you were going to – it almost has a Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, Chili Peppers kind of 90s rock vibe.
Yep.
To it, you know? But
that's
it's,
sick.
But it's Umphrey's.
Yeah.
Know? It's not someone going – you know, I mean, it's not a complete, like lift of Chili Peppers or anything. You just kind of get that vibe.
Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, we're stoked with that. It's always nice. It always feels good to have new material and new work. And then this festival that I went to yesterday called Into the Woods is here in Charleston, and there's this new area near the Middleton Plantation, and Umphrey's is throwing one here called the Woodlands, right around my birthday, November 9th.
Yeah, dude.
That weekend.
I heard all about it. I was really excited to hear about it. I actually chatted with some people about it, and. Hopefully one of these years coming up soon, or one of the, unfortunately this time it didn't work out, but we were talking about maybe having a little comedy at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was discussing that with Vince and absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first year, so we're definitely going to learn a lot from, you know, the grounds itself and the festival, and, you know, over time things grow, and I think that'd be an absolute awesome contribution in addition to the festival comedy.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it would be great, dude. I'd be honored to do it. That would be awesome. So when you guys go to Nashville and get an Airbnb, are you guys all in it together? Are you going to hotels? Are you staying in the Airbnb? Or are you just kind of wake up, get coffee, take a shit, start recording?
Yeah, actually, specifically this time, the drummers live in Nashville, so they stayed at their own place.
Mm-hmm.
But me, the guitar players and the keyboard player, you know, we all went and picked our own rooms. And then in the morning, we'll make eggs, coffee, and we watched comedy specials.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
Before we watched, I think Bill Burr's had just come out at midnight, him in London. So we watched his
so
the
amazing.
First morning. And then, I love him. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. And then the second one, which is, I think, kind of similar, was Dave Chappelle's new one. And to me, it was really great to hear these iconic comedians, you know, saying it.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah.
But, you know, things going on right now. And we enjoyed both. It was a cool way to get up in the morning with your shit shower, your coffee. And then
shit shower Chappelle.
Shit shower Chappelle. And then, you know, sitting there with your coffee, getting ready to be inspired to go do work and laughing.
Yeah, man.
You know, the four of us. That's what we were doing in the morning, and we watched those two specials the first 2 days.
That's great.
Yeah, the guy had Netflix where we were at the Airbnb, so we just clicked it on. So yeah.
Oh, that's killer.
That's usually what's going on in the bus. You know, back in the day when it used to be porn. And Sports Center, depending what side of the bus you were on now. Now it's comedy. It's either comedy or MTV's old rock blocks.
Nice.
You know, they do the 80s, or they'll do the Metal Mania. It's like videos. So that's basically what's playing on the bus now.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, well, I used to be a 120 minutes guy all the time, or Ricky Rackman's Headbangers Ball.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, dude, Chappelle and Burr's special both are just beasts. And it's so, Bill was in town, working on a movie, and, he had to grow a Fu Manchu type mustache for the part.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious seeing him, do that material with that mustache. It was just so funny, like how a mustache adds a weird, like, narrative, yeah. You know, where he looks like he's selling RVs, but, you know, he's such a heady comic. He's just a guy that, I mean, and the room that I do here quite a bit, the Comedy Cellar, we have there's three rooms, the Comedy Cellar, the Village Underground, and the Fat Black Pussycat. And the Fat Black Pussycat is this, it's like an old lounge it's all in the West Village on the same block. And it's got like a feel of the room in the pirate ship when Mikey finally found One-Eyed Willie's treasure. Like all those like red thrones and shit. And there's like chandeliers. It's got like a weird like jazz opium den kind of vibe. And when Burr was in town, he was just doing regular spots with like on our shows. So we have like showcase shows where it's like 6-7 comics doing 10 to 15 and the host and everybody, you know, just does their shit. And Bill was just up there. He didn't use like a fake name on the lineup or anything like that. He just went up like a normal, you know, everyday working comic. Didn't treat himself. Some comics need like a fake name so people aren't bothering them or whatever. And I mean, just going up and absolutely fucking demolishing. And it's just so cool to watch. You know, it's like watching, you know, a baseball player play a wiffle ball game. You know, it's just wild to see him just working shit out. And it's just it's so fun to that to me is kind of like the, you know, every now and then you kind of when you're in it and you're doubting yourself and you're thinking about your career. And then you step back and kind of watch the people that got you into it in the first place. You're like, oh, this is why I do this.
Absolutely.
So good. Did you like one of them better than the other? Did you think Burr's or Chappelle's was? I mean, they're so different.
They're so different, but I like both. I like that they were, you know, relevant and not afraid to talk about it right now. You know,
yeah,
there's a lot of issues happening in the last 5 years, in the last 2 years, and to hear them spit comedic truth was. Yeah. You know, I like the balls. And I mean, we go down those wormholes on YouTube and everything too. The Bill Burr, when they put him outside of the Philly game, and he's like counting down the minutes, 11 minutes, and just ripping, and he completely turned the crowd around from, you know, just drunken tailgaters. And I don't know if we talked about this one before, but that is so epic.
It really is amazing.
You know, just owning it and laughing and getting it done. Another one we got turned on to, do you know Wheeler Walker Jr.?
The name sounds familiar.
You ever listen to him?
No.
Country? Okay, I haven't done my research. I think he's a comedian. Or if he is, if this is his shtick or if it's not a shtick, maybe it is his character, but he's got three country records out and they're hysterical.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dirty stuff. For some reason, I thought he was or maybe he started a stand-up comedian.
It says
LA.
Wheeler Walker Jr. is the alter ego of comedian Ben Hoffman.
Okay.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. Look at that picture. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. But my favorite part is I listen to he does commentary for his records on Spotify.
Uh-huh.
And he put out his third one. It's a WW3, Wheeler Walker 3. And he's doing the commentary. And track one, he just opens up and he's like, fuck Spotify. They make me dead. And it's a 2.5 minute rip and rant on fuck Spotify and how he hates it and stupid on Spotify, and he's about to talk about his redneck country songs, which are all, you know, like kicking ass and eating put. I mean, it's all dirt. It's funny.
It's so great.
Funny. Well, funny to some. I'm sure there's a few that don't enjoy it.
Well, but, whatever.
But his whole spiel and his commentary, man, was just cracking me up. We listened to that on the bus together. It was pretty funny.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll have to check that out. I see that you guys are going to be at the doing a run at the Beacon Theater in January.
Yes,
I can't wait for that. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm stoked. So you got we have to. I'll be at those for sure. Like we need to hang 100%.
Sure.
But you're at I see two nights at the Beacon, and then one night at Brooklyn Bowl that's already sold out.
All right. So, see, I don't even know. I'm such the bass player, so terrible with.
Well, you got a lot going on, man.
I do. I'm waiting for it. 2020, man. I'm waiting for it to slow down, get more into stride. Right now, there's a lot of pivots and bouncing around, jumping around.
Yeah, this is a crazy year, and you're doing the New Year's Eve run.
Denver.
Yeah, that's awesome,
yep.
Dude.
Yeah, I think this will be. You know, we've been flip flopping a lot between Atlanta and Denver. We did have a Chicago in there in the past 5 years, but I think next year we're gonna change it up. You know, I know fans like to go to different places, and you know, there's a lot of things that factor into the business, other than you know, fans just being like, why don't you play Miami? I'll be like, yeah, it'd be great to play Miami.
Totally, I know, right?
What if you don't make any money in Miami? We still, I want to go to Miami. Like, okay. No, so we do want to change it up and do something different. Next year, we got a lot of cool things going on. We're doing Iceland.
Yeah.
In end of March, which I'm going to bring the whole family over. It's my sister's birthday, my parents, my sister. That should be fun. It's going to be cold as shit, I figure. But
hey, fuck it.
You know, Northern Lights, and those sold out too. So, and I assume that 85% of Americans are like, man, let's go over to Iceland.
I mean, why not, right? That's just amazing that's
looking for an opportunity.
Yeah, totally. I mean, why not? And I actually heard that traveling to Iceland is not that expensive, but once you get there, it's like a burger's $40 or whatever.
Yeah, I did some reading about that. It's a little, it's like Singapore. You know, you go to a gas station, it's like $26 for a Coke or something. I don't know. Something ridiculous. Maybe not that ridiculous, but.
Just BYO Coke, you know, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. A little tip I learned with my buddy went over. He said they love their duty free. It's like the tip to self. If you're going over and you buy all your wine and beer or whatever, as much as you can, duty free for when you're staying, that's how you do the big saving.
That's fucking awesome, dude. And now when you go now what's going on? The Moose, I saw you had a Omega Moose gig not that long ago.
Yeah, dude, I had a hilarious gig. Because you know I fractured my pinky.
I did. I was going to ask you how your finger's doing.
Well, it's doing way better, thank God. This is kind of crazy. I was at the bus stop with my kids, and a new neighbor had moved in, and he noticed my finger, and I've been splinting it, kind of, you know, and tying it together to my other finger. And he's like, what's going on with your finger there? And I'm like, I fractured it surfing, like the bone came off. And he grabbed it. He's like, yeah, this isn't good.
What?
Like, that's what you want to hear when you're at the bus stop with your 6-year-old. And it's like, yeah. And he started bending it. And I'm in like severe pain, you know, just crushing my finger, cracking scar tissue, everything. He's like, yeah, you need to be moving this until you have full range of motion and flexibility and everything. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, most people are waiting for surgeons. It takes so long for them to get in, which is true, because it's about 2 months before I have an appointment. He's like, you need to be working on like this physical therapy aspect of it all. And since I've met him and been doing this, I almost have full range of flexibility coming back. I mean, there's still pain because there's a chip of a bone just sitting in there. But but I'm getting it. It's going to be okay. Like, I'm pretty positive it's going to be okay. Now, I have a doctor's appointment Wednesday, so hopefully he says the same. But
what the fuck does this guy do for a living? It's hilarious if he's
an orthopedic surgeon.
Imagine if he's like, I'm a fucking – I sell payroll. Like, what a weird thing. He's just like
– It would have been weird if he was like, yeah, I drive Uber, and he came over and just started bending my finger. Yeah. But it was – kind of cool that I ran into him and you know, leading into, I guess a lot of things, especially with fingers, you know, if you don't keep up on them in those first month or the first couple of weeks, you know, the damage will be done. And
yeah.
It'll, you know, the future could be a little more dim. So anyway, that helped. That's good. But I played this gig at Resonance Fest before this happened, and I had an Umphrey set, 20-minute change into another Umphrey set, straight into an Omega Moose set, straight into a Doom Flamingo set, and I played from 9 till 4 a.m.
What the fuck? Like,
and my pinky, you know, it's on my fretting hand, was definitely feeling it after that.
Jesus,
but
dude.
It's getting better. It's still crooked. I mean, it looks like my hand's mangled a little bit, but at least I know it's headed in the right direction.
Would you say that's the most you've played in a night?
That is definitely the most I played for a festival.
Yeah.
From 9 to 4. I mean, there was barely any breaks in between, you know, these are like half hour changeovers.
That's so cool, yeah. Man. I want to check out the Moose so bad.
Yeah, then the Moose are back. We're playing in Chicago. You know, that's more 80s electro funk kind of stuff. That's that we've got some dates coming 2020 as well. And we're playing the Umphrey's Festival down here. The Woodlands, the Moose, and Doom Flamingo being here.
Yeah, dude, so. Doom Flamingo is slowly becoming, since you and I chatted last time, it's slowly becoming one of my favorite listens. It's such a good, again, driving music. I'm constantly on the road, and it's just perfect. It's like Rad Racer.
Yeah, totally.
It's Nintendo, 80s Nintendo music.
Have you heard Sturgill Simpson's new record?
I haven't heard the new one, but I love Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, well, guess what he did? He put out a full anime Netflix music video, Japanese animation of his record.
Really?
That's what we've been doing with this comic book that we've been working on and coming up with the synthwave music. He kind of put out, if you want to call his music, you know, it leans more towards the synthwave jams. It's still, you know, it's still country, but
yeah,
it's rocking. I'd give it a listen, man. I like it. There's some. I've been listening to that one, the new Tool one, probably the most recently.
Well, those are two. Yeah, I mean, I love Turtles all the way down, or that whole like psychedelic country that he's doing is so great. It's like listening.
I think you'll dig the new one. I'm anxious to see what you think.
Oh, totally, dude. I'll check it out and I'll text you and let you know. I don't want to keep you too much longer, brother. I know you got a lot going on. Always a pleasure to chat with you, man. We had such a good time talking last time, and let everybody know that's listening to where they can find out all things you and Doom and and Omega.
Yeah, Umphrey's.com pretty much is the umbrella for all of them. Umphrey's.com has all our side projects are under there too. Doomflamingo.com is another one where you can find what we're doing there. We're working on a record. And I'm becoming more active in 2020 as well. And I'm pretty easy to find in a Google.
Not a hard
person to find, which could be either frightening or exciting. I don't know.
Well, these days, who the fuck knows?
You know?
Thank you so much, man. And
thank you.
And we'll chat soon.
Adios, amigo.